This is Simply Out of This World with JPR. Mixing global styles with JPR. Good evening, this is Out of This World, and tonight a special program, an interview with Piers Faccini, recorded in his studio in the Cévennes in the south of France.
I heard mute voices mouthing prayers to unknown ones, whose mouths at once pray to gods in the songs of broken tongues. I heard drum breaks roll from the edge of the falling heights, cascading sounds colliding, devouring up the night. I heard the snap of wings beat as the flock spread west. I stood and listened to the silent echo that it left. I stood and listened to the silent echo that it left. I stood and listened to the silent echo that it left. Calling you, calling me.
Still the Calling by Piers Faccini from his new album, My Wilderness.
Good afternoon, Piers.
Good afternoon.
Your new album, My Wilderness, has more of a world music colour with many guests from faraway places. Do you think it is different from your previous albums, and in what way?
So I think that it's the in a way I've been building towards that kind of sound for a long time. And I think the thing that I've been wanting to avoid, sort of since day one, because in a way I have to go back about 20 years to kind of when I first heard like music from Mali, and when I first discovered music outside of Europe, I would say, certainly outside of Britain. And I was sort of blown away by those sounds. I realized that I was going to have quite a hard time of trying to integrate those kind of influences whilst still essentially trying to be a songwriter and writing in English. And so that's the thing that's taken me a long time, in a way, was to get to a point where the thing I've wanted to avoid above all was to have this kind of, to make albums that were a bit like postcards, you know. A postcard from Mali, and then a postcard from you know, from Brazil, a postcard from North Africa, wherever. So in order to do that, then this, if you like, these different influences and these different colours have to be completely digested, and they have to be completely, it's a bit like you can throw something into the water and then the water gets all kind of murky and cloudy, and then you have to wait until it's all settled to the bottom, and then the water becomes clear again. And so very long-winded answer, that's, you know, that's basically what's taken me to me, in a way. My Wilderness is an album that I've been wanting to make since then, so for many, many years. But in order to make it, I had to get to a point where all of those colors would come through in a natural way, just as songwriting, you know, just as in the song form. So from the moment that I pick up the guitar and I'm working on a song, that's, it's already there, you know. I'm not inviting, for example, Badje, who plays Ungoni on the songs, you know. It's not just because Badje plays on it that it has that feel. The feel is already there in the writing of the, you know, of the song. And that's the thing that I wanted to avoid having, so that it wouldn't have like that postcard feel. So I think it is the most sort of, it is definitely the album that I've done that has the most world, even though we're in agreement, we're mad about that term, but whatever, for want of a better word,
whatever that means. Yeah, because there's some great performances from Ibrahim Malouf, of course, and also, as you said,
from Badje,
from Badje, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because if you take that, and if you take that example, for example, the song "The Beggar and the Thief," well, "The Beggar and the Thief" is, you know, for me, it's a real, you know, when you listen to it, what is that song? You know, where does it come from? It's, you know, but so for me, it's above all, it's hopefully a song, and I hope a good song, but this kind of weird sort of blend that just sort of came together. But when I wrote the song, immediately I thought of Ibrahim as the second voice, and I called him up and I said, I've got this song, you know, it's perfect for you, you've got to play on it. And he was like, absolutely, you know, great. And when we got him into the studio, you know, he just, well, as soon as he heard the song, he was like, I know exactly why you asked me, and it's perfect. And then, because we know each other really well, when he played his trumpet part, it was kind of weirdly how I'd imagined it, you know, in my head, sort of doing the song. So,
well, that's given us an idea of how you write songs, but I had a question which was more precise, is how do you actually write your songs? Is it words or music first, or?
It's generally the two together, in the sense that what happens is that I always sort of say, like, for me, the most important thing is like a daydreaming thing. It's basically, I have to get into this state where I'm kind of daydreaming, and I'm just like that kid in the classroom who's looking out the window and is no longer paying attention to the teacher, but he's still there enough, but he's not there. You're sort of between absence and presence. And then I like to have an instrument, I like to have a little notebook, and then he's sort of in that kind of vague netherworld of my imagination. Then I'll get a riff on a guitar, or it might be a phrase that will pop into my mind, and then the song just sort of builds out from there. And there are exceptions. Sometimes I'll start with lyrics that I've written, and then I'll build it into a song, or vice versa.
And you have your own studio, that's where we are now. Have you ever thought of producing albums for other artists?
Well, I have actually, funnily enough, this year or the last couple of years, I've just started to do it. So I produced an album of an Italian band called Newt, who all came here from Naples. and we recorded here a couple of summers ago. So that was the first project that I've done where I've sort of not been in, and it's not been my own music, which is a great experience. I loved it. And then more recently, I've worked with a Brazilian singer and cellist called Dom, who's an amazingly talented young woman who sort of I met. And she sort of just she hadn't been writing songs very long. She wasn't quite sure how she wanted to go about recording them. She sort of played me her demos. I fell in love with them, and I said, "Come and mm-hmm. record." And so that's a project that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, I think you posted one. Yeah. Did you post one song on Facebook?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And funny enough, Six Degrees are very interested in it. So.
I also produced
really recently, but it hasn't come out again. There's an old friend of mine called Roger Robinson. Who has a band called King Midas Sound,
mm-hmm.
who is sort of in that dubstep kind of kind of vibe. But his project under his own name is very folky.
Mm-hmm.
He's a poet, so we also did that. So it's it is a studio, but more than a studio, it's more of just a place.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a vibe in a way because mm-hmm. I've got incredibly limited. gear. What I've got is just good enough and basic enough to get what I want, but it's not really I've got a lot of instruments and I've got a little bit of gear, but I wouldn't really more than a studio. It feels more like a space where stuff can happen.
A little bit like Daniel Lanois likes to do.
The more
I listen to your stuff, the more I think of Daniel Lanois.
I love Daniel. And also, of course, his whole approach to sound
and his production.
His production is amazing. Yeah. Love.
is his pillow, and the skies are his bed. Strange as the man, free in his heart. Strange as the man.
Faccini in a Nick Drake mood for Strange is the Man from his album My Wilderness. Back to the interview.
Music is only one part of your work. Can you tell us about the other arts that you practice, the other strings to your bow?
So, well, the thing is that my first passion was painting, and which I think was sort of born from the fact that my parents really... My grandmother was a painter, but my parents, when I was a kid, you know, we spent quite a lot of time in Italy, and they were big fans of sort of old... going into looking at old churches and fresco paintings, mm-hmm. and I think I really fell in love with just these mysterious scenes that you walk in, you know, as a kid. I just remember seeing these incredible scenes sort of painted on the walls, you know, and I just thought... It immediately kind of fired my imagination, and I'm sort of a greedy person, because when I see something that I like, I'm not happy just watching it or seeing it or listening to it. I want to do it myself. So I want to have a taste of how it feels to make that kind of work. So I think quickly sort of had a desire to become a painter and to get a feel of what it was like to be trying to describe the world through images. But then music the passion for music came about at the same time. It's just I didn't really take it as seriously as I did painting, possibly because I came from a more visual art family than a music family. So, and also because I went to art college in Paris, but the music was always very self-taught, you know. I never had a music lesson in my life, so it took me a while to actually get the courage to, and confidence more than anything else, to think that maybe it was okay, I could do it, you know. In fact, one of the people who encouraged me from a very early age, is, you know, from when I decided I wanted to become a musician as well, was Vincent Segal, who I met when I was 18, actually, when I was at the Beaux-Arts studying painting. And he was one of the first people to be like, you know, you've got a great voice, and, you know, your songs are really good, you should take it more seriously, you know. Because at that time I was really imagining that I would just be a painter.
And you do photo as well?
Yeah, I mean, the photography is very much not, you know, I've always found it slightly, it's one of those urban myths that I've always slightly regret. There's one where you'll do an interview and one journalist will simply see that you've done photographs for your albums, and suddenly you're a photographer, you know. Whereas I'm just not, you know, I love photography and I take a lot of pictures, but I'm very much a painter who takes photographs. I would never describe myself as a photographer, but you know, I do love, like most people.
Coming back to the music, you're now with 6 Degrees Records for the US and Canada anyway. How did that come about?
We went over, been working for about 4 years now with a US manager who's called Liz Penter, who's also the manager for Medeski, Martin and Wood. And so she's New York based, so I was going to New York quite a lot, and basically I did the rock critic for the Wall Street Journal called Jim Fuzzilli is really likes my stuff, so he did there was a feature in the Wall Street Journal on my music, and at that time we didn't have a label in the US, and he was like, you should check out 6 Degrees. I think they'd be perfect for your work. And then that night, by another coincidence, I met a guy who's called Olivier Conan, who has a club called Barbès in New York.
Oh, yes, yes, I've heard of it.
And Olivier was like, you should play your stuff to Six Degrees Records. They're perfect for you. I was like, okay, this is twice in one day. And then Olivier was like, look, I've got Bob Duskus's email. He's a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, send him the record, you know. And so I did that. And to Bob's credit, like, one of the things I really respect about him is that he listened to the record and he got in touch like within 24 hours. I mean, he just he loved it. He got the record. He said all the right things. I was really impressed by his sort of musical culture and the way he was talking.
He seems to be one of these old-fashioned bosses of record company, like they used to be, like at the time of Atlantic and
yeah, and also and someone like who's that. What I really liked about him was that he's also someone who's very much going on gut instinct, you know, trusts his instinct, and he doesn't have to. You know, I've never been the most fashionable. You know, I'm slightly off the radar, so you know, all respect to him that he wasn't just following and running after the guy that everyone else wanted to sign, and instead was actually just really trusting his ear and going for what he wanted. You know,
I think it's a great great opportunity for you to be on 6 Degrees Records, which are such a great company.
Anyway. Yeah.
You come from a mixed European heritage. Maybe you'd like to talk a little bit about that. And you live in France, quite away from everything or everybody. Is that a choice?
I guess. I mean, I've always been sort of interested in extremes in a way. So having spent probably most of my life in London, the idea of sort of coming and living in the countryside was, and you know, diametrically opposed sort of life. A lifestyle was really appealing to me. It also coincided with the fact that with my wife, we wanted to move out of the city and like have our kids have a sort of their early childhood in a country, in a rural environment. So that was sort of how that came about. So I spent some time in France when I was between the age of 5 and 10 in France. So I learned French very early and then went back to the UK. My dad was Italian and Irish. So my grandparents were Italian and Irish on that side. So we also had the Italian connection. Obviously I have an Italian surname. So we had, and still to this day, I mean, I ended up marrying someone from Napoli. So we speak Italian together. So the Italian thing's sort of still there, even though, you know, it's now third generation or second generation. On my mum's side is, she also, my grandparents on my mum's side came from Eastern Europe, so.
All right.
From Poland, actually. I feel like the fact that all my grandparents were immigrants into the UK and from different parts of the world is interesting, because I realise that predominantly it means that my culture is British, but from a linguistic point of view, like, you know, I write in English and as a passion for the English language. But then because I was brought up speaking more than one language, and because of the fact that I've travelled a lot and I now live outside the UK, and with those origins, I have this a sense of what we were talking about before, but this sense of the world as having quite porous frontiers. This idea of, you know, because languages, also the fact of speaking languages, you know, languages are like, they're like the best passports, you know, because they open all doors, you know, when you speak languages. So, of course, when you speak more than one language and then you travel a lot and then you've moved out of the country that you were born into, it gives you perhaps a slightly different sense of the world, sort of politically and also just in terms of how you live. And I think that my music is a sort of natural reflection of that in a way.
Have you ever thought of writing in another language than English, writing your lyrics?
I have written a little bit in Italian and a little bit in French, but it's difficult because, you know, English is my first language and it's just, it's tricky to, I'm just, you know, I'm a real perfectionist, so I just wouldn't want it to be substandard. You know?
Yes, yes.
It's hard to...
Your lyrics are well worth reading.
Well, I hope so. I mean, there's a lot of work goes into them, so I wouldn't want the French just to be for the sound of the French language, but then for someone who was a French writer to read it and be like, ooh, you know, like you might listen to bands from other countries that are not English speaking.
Yes, and it sounds
and
like,
then you listen to their lyrics and you're like,
like some French bands.
Yeah, won't mention any names.
Yes, there are a few of them.
Yeah.
What are you listening to at the moment?
I have such an eclectic sort of way of listening to music, really. I mean, I just go, you know, I was listening to this album, Terrakraft, literally like yesterday, which is this band from like a Tuareg sort of band who are affiliated with Tin Arawen, the people that started Tin Arawen. Mm-hmm. I really like, I love all those kind of rhythms and that sort of vibe. But then I'm also listening recently to Martin Carthy, like he's one of my old favourites, you know, love all those early albums of Martin Carthy. June Tabor.
Oh, also. I saw her recently.
Yeah, I have
with the Oyster Band.
I'd like to see that.
That was very good. Very good.
I really like the new is not that new now, but Wolf Roy Goes to Town, the Bonnie Prince Billy.
Oh, I don't know that
album that's come out. It's a kind of a return to mm-hmm. form. I mean, I think he's a, you know, probably the most interesting writer
mm-hmm.
for me, you know, or lyricist around. He's very prolific, so sometimes I've slightly glazed over a lot of his stuff. I haven't always followed it, but I love the sort of first Bonnie Prince Billy albums, and so I really love this new one. I love the way it's been recorded. Sounds like just everyone in a room together without too many microphones. It's very kind of nice and what else? Also, I listen to, you know, I'm a huge Arvo Part fan.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So I listen to a lot of.
I can see that. Yes,
I listen to a lot of choral music and
in some also, of your quieter moments. Yeah,
and I love. I mean, I don't have a particular faith myself or a dogma, religious dogma, but I do listen to a lot of religious music and a lot of it could be Indian bhajans,
some of the best music is
Sufi music or even, you know, early old gospel recordings, other part, all his music is sacred, I do love sacred music, and sounds possibly a bit pretentious, but that I like, there's a sort of a sacred, I try and have a sort of a sense of the sacred in my own music, in a way, and in terms of what I speak about and where I'm singing from. Even though, like I said, there's no denominational or religious aspect to it, but there's some sense of, for want of a better word, the sacred does sort of creep in there.
Yes, it's in your voice. It's in the way that the way that I see it is your voice is so close to the microphone, so as if it was, especially when you listen to it through the headphones, it's like you're just whispering in someone's ear, and it's the fragility of it. But at the same time, the message in your songs, there's always something.
Yeah,
you always say something.
Yeah.
Very kind of spiritual, I suppose.
Thank you. ديا اوي دمنا نفر يلهنا يسر غيماننا كي كميدين دمنا نفر يلهن يسر غيماننا اهيني لنا ايه جرجرا ايبا سفار
كيكا ميدين اوي دمان افرا يغيون ايسار غمانين
ايديا ادمي دوين يبدا يا التاريخ يا ايد انت في النقلا
كيكاميدين ناوي دمان وفرا يغيون يسار غماننا
Some of the sounds that inspire Piers Faccini. Arvo Pärt, who is an Estonian composer, with the second Alleluia of his Berliner Mass, and Terrakaft with Kek Amidi Nin. That must be the oddest mixture of music that has ever been played in Out of This World. And the last few questions now.
What is your best memory of a gig? It could be your own gig or somebody else that you saw that.
Sort of few gigs spring to mind. Fela Kuti, Brixton Academy. That was pretty wild.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the date of it, you know, but it was definitely a while ago. But that was a real experience because I'd sort of been into Fela for a while, but I'd never actually seen any kind of, you know, Nigerian bands. I'd never seen Fela play, never seen that vibe in concert, and it was interesting because it was a kind of, you know, it was, I would say it must have been probably in sometime early 90s, and you know, there weren't that many non-Nigerian people there.
Yeah.
So the atmosphere for me was just like incredible. Such an eye-opener. It was just an interesting experience that, you know, that music has opened up to to so many people now. So,
well, who thought that his life would be turned into a musical?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Which was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
And I saw his son Shun Kuti this summer playing not far from here.
Because he was playing with all of the old musicians.
Yeah, not far from here. And he was very much, I mean, I never saw Fela live, but he was very much, much more like Fela than Fela.
Well, that's what everyone says. But I would say another memorable gig for me was I saw the Smiths also
mm.
in 1985, I think it was. Mm. Yeah.
A song that makes you cry or laugh or both.
I don't know if I know any songs that make me laugh and cry simultaneously.
But or a song that makes you cry.
I would say probably my favourite Bob Dylan song is probably Sarah.
Mm. Oh yes, from Desire.
Desire is probably my favourite Bob Dylan album.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
that's where I picked up Bob Dylan, because I never used to listen to Bob Dylan.
Right.
I just didn't like. I don't know. There was just something, and then Desire came, and now I can listen to.
I love that album. I just love everything about it.
Emmylou Harris.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing the
backing vocals.
Backing vocals, yeah. And
it's such a beautiful song. Mm. Just to lost love, yeah. You know. Mm. Just see, the thing is that because Dylan's one of those songwriters, he was so prolific and so much of a kind of almost like a medium by which, you know, it's like he's singing the world songs. It sounds cheesy, but it's like he's just picking up on this stuff and all these songs are just coming out of him, and then this song Sarah comes up, which is just so incredibly, it's just the most, you can't be more personal than that.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting hearing someone who's such a universal storyteller and lyricist brought down to such a basic song to the woman he loves, you know.
That's such a beautiful chorus there.
Yeah, it's just stunning. It's just a, you know, I never get tired of it. It's just a wonderful, wonderful.
Well, if you think of something that makes you laugh, you can always tell me afterwards.
I looked at the sky when the children were babies. I played on the beach. You came up behind me. I saw you go by. You were always so close, still within reach. Sarah, Sarah, whatever made you wanna change your mind? So easy to look at, so hard to define. I can still see them playing with their pails in the sand. They run to the water, their buckets to fill. I can still see the shells falling out of their hands as they follow each other back up the hill. Sweet virgin angel, sweet love of my life. Sarah, Sarah, radiant jewel, a mystical wife. Sleeping in the woods by a fire in the night, drinking white rum in a Portugal bar. Them playing leapfrog and hearing about Snow White. You in the marketplace in Savannah, Lamar. Sarah, Sarah, it's all so clear, I could never forget. Sarah, Sarah, loving you is the one thing I'll never regret. I can still hear the sounds of those Methodist bells. I'd taken the cure and it just gotten through. Staying up for days in the Chelsea Hotel, writing sad-eyed lady of the lowlands for you. Sarah,
Wherever we travel, we're never apart. Sarah, oh Sarah, beautiful lady, so dear to my heart. How did I meet you? I don't know. A messenger sent me in a tropical storm. You were there in the winter, moonlight on the snow, and on Lily Pond Lane when the weather was warm. Sarah, oh Sarah, Scorpio Sphinx in a calico dress. You must forgive me my unworthiness. Now the beach is deserted, except for some kelp and a piece of an old ship that lies on the shore. You always responded when I needed your help. You gave me a map and a key to your door. Glamorous nymph with an arrow and bow. Sarah, oh Sarah, don't ever leave me, don't ever go.
Who would you like to collaborate with? Like the impossible collaboration, like somebody you'd really like to, because you collaborate with quite a number of.
I think, I mean, the guy for me that I would just love to, even just outside of even collaborating, I'd love to share a glass of wine and a conversation with, but in a dream world, to maybe write a song or something or sing together would be Leonard Cohen.
Yeah. Yeah, a brilliant new album.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I've seen him play recently, and it was about 2 years ago. And I'm just, you know, I'm a huge fan since day one, so, but it was just a very amazing to see him play with his band, and just such a kind of graceful, humorous, you know, deep kind of person, and just, you know, just for me, the writer of all writers, you know.
I mean, your just, two voices would be interesting, because with his low,
yeah, exactly,
kind of, and your yeah. kind of more, you know, you when, I really like it when you go high in some of the songs when it's really lovely.
Got that too. It was red behind your eyes. You were young and it was summer. I just had to take a dive. Winning you was easy, but darkness was the prize. I don't smoke no cigarette. I don't drink no alcohol. I ain't had much loving yet, but that's always been your call. Hey, I don't miss it, baby. I got no taste for anything at all. I used to love the rainbow. And I used to love the view. I love the early morning. Pretend that it was new. But I caught the darkness, baby, and I got it worse than you. The darkness, drinking from your cup. I said, is this contagious? You said, just drink it up.
Leonard Cohen from his new album, Old Ideas, Darkness.
So we come to the last question. What is in store for the future for us?
Well,
or for you?
So I'm working on, at the moment I'm working on a couple of different projects. One which is the one where we met, which is the side project that I have, yes, with the river, which is a trio, which is me, Badje Makantunkara, who's the Ngoni player from Mali, and a French guitar player called Seb Martel. So I've written songs for that band and for that sort of for that trio probably about 18 months to 2 years ago, and now we have enough material for an album, so I'd really like to record that, because we're getting, you know, we are doing shows from time to time, and you know, it's, we, one of the things with that project was, I thought, because it was a side project, I thought, let's do it differently. Let's play the songs live, work on the songs, work on the arrangements live, and then once we know what we're doing, then we can record. Yeah. And we've had the luxury to be able to do that, whereas tends to be the other way around. So that's something I want to do this year. And then the other thing that I want to do is I've sort of been harboring this, this kind of desire to make an album from beginning to end of just incredibly intimate music, because I've always combined on my albums upbeat and very sort of rhythmic, almost trancey type rhythms with very, very intimate, very quiet stuff, which I like. So there's a lot of dynamic, but I love the idea of, I've been wanting to make an album, I kind of want the idea of making an album that people would sort of put on just before they go to sleep, and it's just, it would kind of like just sort of push them off into sleep, you know, just kind of, in French you say bercé, you know? So that's something I can do here all by myself. I'm just here, I've got all my instruments, I've got I've got a whole bunch of songs, so I'm about halfway through that project now. Hopefully I'll have that done in a couple of months, and then I'd like to be able to release that towards the end of the year, if possible.
So it'd be like a, more like an ambient, it could be like
sort of
ambient.
I mean, it's,
because I remember the Brian Eno album where you had one side which was upbeat and the B side was really kind of dreamy.
Sort of, I mean, I'm ambient in a way, in just in terms of the fact that it would be very dreamy and very still and very quiet, but ultimately just for me also real back to basics songwriting, you know, just real, it's all just about hopefully good songs and moving lyrics and just, you know, just taking the song to its basics, which is just a melody and some words, and not really building that much around it, and not, you know, it's not an album that, it's something that I would do just because I want to do it and I think people that like my music would like it, but it's not an album that I would tour necessarily, you know, so that's why I've kind of imagined it as an album between albums. It's something that I might even, it's possible that I might not even release it through the ordinary channels.
Right, yeah. It sounds really good. And if you, I mean, if you have influences by Arvo Pärt and people like that, then then that's be really great. Well, thank you very much, Piers.
My pleasure.
And I'm really pleased that we met. Thank
great.
You very much.
Thanks for coming.
This is Tribe by Piers Faccini from the album My Wilderness. Sorry about the edit, we ran out of time. You'll just have to buy the album to listen to the end of the song. Hope you enjoyed the program. See you next week.
Back of tongues, swallowed down throats to choked up lungs, joy brimming from the deepest well, from the source sprung to break the spell. How low am I to fall? How low, how low? How a raindrop became a sea. From one sea grew a forest of trees. Two bodies and generations came to walk the ground and disappear again. Till a siren blew among the reeds, warning of crops that no longer feed. Sending buds up to flower and bloom under cover of the darkest moon. Hello. The western lands.